Okay, we have a quorum now. I'm going to call the OSA's Board of Directors meeting to order. It's 6:16 and I'm taking roll call. Mike Barr?
Here.
Steve Borg? Not yet. Elise Darwish here. Jonathan Dharmapalan?
I'm here. Hi.
Wei Ling? Huber? Carol Eisen? Leon Jones?
Here.
Melissa Mitrovich? So I saw Melissa.
And Steve just joined the video.
Okay. Steve Borg?
Here.
Okay, now I can hear you, Melissa. Melissa's here. Josefina? Diane Woods? Okay, we have established the quorum. And, okay, so public comment. Right now we have Jessica and Liz. If anyone else wants to do public comment, if you want to just type your name in the chat box. Okay, we'll get started. Jessica?
Let's see.
You might be on mute.
Okay. Am I on mute now?
Now we can
hear you now. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, I only jumped on because I wanted to offer to all the teachers and staff who've been working really hard that when the quarantine is over, I offered on Constella, and I'm offering it now as public record, meet somewhere at a place to be determined in Oakland to both help out the business and help cheer up teachers and staff who've been working really hard in really weird times, to buy everybody a bunch of drinks. So that was just the offer, was just to take them out if they wanted to after everything is all over and we can actually all meet again. So that was it. That's all I wanted.
And I'll say I'll help you, Jessica, okay? I'll officially help you with that.
Yay. Okay, cool.
I'm in with that. I signed up for public comment just to... No, sorry. Did you guys want to answer Jessica's question? I'm sorry about that.
No, so we're not supposed to respond.
Oh, you're not. Okay.
But right. Thank you.
I'm unclear how this really works. I signed up just in case I had something to say, because I wanted to hear what you all had to say. But I will say that I am so impressed and so grateful at how the school has handled this entire thing. I think that everybody's doing an amazing job. You know, my kid threw a little bit of a hissy fit the first Sunday before the first day, but then has been dealing with it really well. And I think the teachers have been, and the structure has been just fantastic. And I think, I second Jessica's comment about just doing something special for them. I've been racking my brain, trying to think of what we can do for them, but they've just, I think, done incredible. And you all, Stacy and Mike, you guys have done, and the whole faculty have done an amazing job just making things go pretty darn well. So I just wanted to say thank you and keep up the good work. And I can't stress how grateful our family has been. That's all.
Thank you so much. So Josefina has joined us and Wei Ling. Any more public comments? Just type your name in the chat box if you'd like to do one. Okay. Thank you. We have consent agenda. We have three approval of the minutes, and then the comprehensive school safety plan. Is there anything you would like to take out of consent agenda, or can we vote them together?
Yes, vote.
Sorry, Melissa.
I just said
okay.
Vote.
Okay, I have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second it.
Thank you. All those in favor? Aye. Any opposed?
Sorry, Elise, I had to mute for a second because my dog was going crazy because the mailman was within 100 feet. I had a question before we vote about the school safety plan. What's different about it? Is it materially different than what's been in place? Is it new? I didn't have some context to compare it to.
Mike, Stacy, or Romy, would you like to answer differences from previous years?
I'll go ahead and answer that if that's all right. It's just part of the annual compliance calendar that we review our safety plan and make a few updates and submit it every March for approval.
So it's materially the same as what we've had in the past then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, it's been updated.
Great. I'm going to vote aye and then go back to mute because of the dog. So.
Okay, anyone opposed? Okay, the consent agenda is approved. Student leadership report, Mr. Jones. I know you're here.
Yes, here. Okay. So, as we all are aware of the current pandemic the world is in around COVID-19, I'm here to provide a report on how it heavily impacts the students of OSA. With as much anecdotal information I could gather, my report synthesized to three matters: students' responses to remote learning, the cancellation of events, and students' mental health status through the pandemic and how it's affecting home/online school life. Starting with remote learning, as much as I got responses, I also got a lot of questions. The biggest question I received before the letter that went out to families yesterday was, how long will this continue? From the governor's press conference last week expressing that most California public schools would not return back to school put a lot of students on edge and how likely we can maintain the structure of remote learning. Especially now knowing that we will not return back to school until May, I don't know the exact stats from the Google form that went out this week, but from many conversations that I had, it presented mixed vibes. From general consensus, students feel that remote learning comes from a self-initiating stature, trying to navigate through classwork and announcements after announcements.
It comes from a what?
Self-initiating.
Self-initiating?
Yes.
Initiating, like they
initiating, like on a student's.
Got it.
Perfect. Trying to navigate through classwork and announcements after announcements via Google Classroom and emails to potentially dealing with technical problems or misunderstanding the work at hand. Students feel that they aren't able to rely on email to communicate problems and it's not fulfilling their educational needs. However, some students see something like the Google Meets or Zoom conferences as very positive. The ability to ask questions there and to see students and teachers makes them feel a little bit more comfortable through the circumstances that we are in. I am really excited to see the stats that come out of the Google form and the plan for how remote learning will look after spring break. This part of the conversation hurt me the most when I asked students about their feelings around the cancellation or potential cancellation of events at OSA. For those that know, spring season is the biggest season for OSA in terms of shows, showcases, galleries, readings, and more. So to not have it in what we perceive the biggest year, 2020, it's kind of disheartening. No matter where students leave and go after OSA, when they are there, we are artists. For a majority of students, it's the thing that keeps them going. So to have it on halt in terms of at OSA is something students are not feeling too comfortable with. Now we have students like Ajay Kasim, a fashion student, Jalen Hernandez, instrumental student, and OSA vocal teacher Ms. Kava Menzies that's doing art, collaborating virtually and posting it on social media through the shelter in place. But for some students, it's about the environment. OSA is a place to make art. And for some students, they just cannot do that or feel they can recreate the space that OSA has done for many years in their own homes. To add on, or less more of an artistic note, the factor of the potential cancellation of events like prom, the graduation ceremony has put a hum over the senior class. As we are now officially known as quarter four seniors, figuring out where we're going to college, which may I say a lot of us are getting into our dream schools, and enjoying our last high school memories, that it's a major part majority of it's happening virtually. And it kind of feels a little superficial, but we're continuing on keeping optimistic through it all. But a lot of us are sort of holding on to those events like prom and graduation. So if it continues as planned, or if we have to have it altered in some way, we want to make it happen. Another class that I'd like to highlight is our junior class, our juniors. A lot of them feel really lost in next step college plans. With the March and May SAT and ACT being canceled, they know that a lot of juniors are planning to take the June test date, which is going to be a lot of them. Not to mention college plans. They just, unfortunately, unfortunately received a new English teacher, and they're trying to navigate that, having a new teacher, and then also having it being online. And to be honest, a lot of students are still processing their feelings of losing Mr. Textera, an amazing English teacher, from reviews. I never had him as a teacher, but I heard he was an amazing teacher. Mm-hmm. Last but not least, as the president, I've been making it my top priority to focus on the mental health of students at OSA as much as I can reach remotely. We as a country, to be honest, lack in the area of taking care of people's mental health, and with the shelter in place and self-distancing practice has really taken a toll on people's mental health. For the majority of students, OSA is a home for a specific purpose. So for some students, they feel they have lost something. Even though it's temporary from a teenager's perspective, when you take classes 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, it feels like a forever kind of thing. So there are many groups and people trying to provide tips and support for students during this time. First on the list is Mental Health Awareness Club, led by President Annika Anston. She's the 11th grader. They just met on Monday to create a list of activities students can do during spring break, because we have the shelter in place and school won't be in session due to COVID-19. So some of the activities that came out of that meeting were baking cakes from scratch, doing a spring break shared Google presentation, taking pictures of what you're doing over the break, and then there'll be a whole group presentation. I also believe that the school is making a presentation for fundraising matters of what students are doing artistically as well. Learning a new language using something like Duolingo, or even looking at live cams of animals at the zoo. Next up is Mr. Taylor and us seniors. We'll be doing a Google Meet cooking class. Students will sign up with recipes to teach to each other so that they can enjoy tasty new treats virtually, because we all are not in one shared space. Next on the list is student leadership, coming up with ideas of potentially having a movie club or also class level assemblies on Google Meet. Just an idea, want to see how we can probably figure that one out. Last but not least, the support team at OSA is holding office hours Tuesdays and Thursdays for students to check in, because the biggest message that is being pushed to students is to give themselves permission to feel good, to feel the bad, to feel angry, to feel sad, and everything in between. On top of that, it's for people to reach out for support, because we gotta get through this together. I'm a firm believer that home is where the heart is, and home life outside of OSA can be tricky for some students. So the entire OSA community is trying to be open, to share love and hope through a time where it seems like it's all coming to an end. For example, sharing facts, as I said earlier before the meeting, OSA senior Gabby Ricks in the theater department got a full ride scholarship to UCLA. That's a win for specifically Gabby, but also a win for the school overall. If anybody has any questions or don't, consider me signing out for my March 25th student leadership report.
Hey, Liam. Great news. I'm sorry, Lise. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
That's all wonderful news. Thank you. Very much appreciated. From the UCLA news, are we to understand that at least college decisions are coming out on a regular schedule for the seniors?
Yes, that is true. They are still coming out. Students are making their decisions. And then schools are allowed to send emails for questions. I know specifically for me, for SMU that's in Dallas, they have Zoom conferences for students to meet with the Associate Director of Admissions for questions and things of the such.
Is that where you're going?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Way to go.
That's all I have. Good luck.
Leon, lots of schools are trying different things. Is there anything you're hearing about other schools doing, particularly around the social emotional supports that we could adopt or we could do? I mean, my hunch is OSA is thinking about this a lot more than other schools, but is there anything we can learn?
Not from the conversations that I have had. I think that a lot of us, in terms from the student perspective, are really bonding off of like social media practices, doing different kinds of challenges that's promoting self-love. But in terms of specific schools, I can't report on that.
Okay. I'm not hearing anybody do anything better than what Leon's described, at least, and the other organizations that I'm affiliated with. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Any other questions for Leon?
No.
Josefina, did you have one?
Yes. Oh, there we go. Yes, I just wanted to share that some schools are also doing like some mental health training for the teaching staff. Mm. So the teaching staff can have some background knowledge of, you know, some basic mental health practices as they're engaging students remotely. So I don't know if OSA is interested in doing anything like that. If so, then I can help facilitate that kind of training. Or I don't know if we've tapped into the OSA mental health resources to do that kind of like support and training for teachers.
That's great. So Mike, I'm assuming you've heard that.
Yeah, I heard. Okay. I'll connect with you, Josefina. There's been ongoing trainings, but it's certainly a time where we could use more and whatever resources we got. So I'll shoot you an email and we can connect.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And we're holding our regular division meetings and department level meetings with faculty so that they are not in isolation in their quest for just dealing with all of this. People who are home alone and feeling overwhelmed with technology. We are holding our regular staff connections to make sure we're taking care of people.
Great. Mike, were you going to say something?
No, I'd love to hear, as the conversation evolves around how you guys are thinking about alternatives, you know, to prom or to graduation, whether you're going to do something later in the year. Obviously, there's a lot of schools trying to figure that stuff out. And would love to hear how you guys have thought about it. And I'll share other ideas as I hear about it. I'm not hearing anything yet. I think the news about closing till May 1st. Everybody's sort of processing that. I don't think anybody's shocked by it, but we're still processing that. So thanks for everything you're doing, Leon. I know it's a tough time. My favorite president right now.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't close.
No competition.
Anyway, I digress.
Any other questions for Leon? Diane, I saw you joined us. Thank you. Okay.
Leon, I'm so proud of you. Of course, I've always been proud of you, but
oh, thank you.
I'm proud of you, okay? You're wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to move on to propose new board members. We have two board members who have been on the docket to be voted on for a while. I'll take the first one is Dwayne Walton. He has met with a number of us, has a lot of experience being on another charter board, and is there any discussion? Or Dwayne, would you like to say something?
Yes, good evening, you know, everyone, and I don't think anything new I would add. I believe my CV was shared, so I will open up, you know, questions regarding that. But I will just say for Leon, just congratulations to you. I think you've been exemplary, you know, as a student president representative, and I only see, you know, better things for you in your next chapter in college. So that I'll use those minutes to just say that.
Thank you.
Elise, this is Steve. Yeah. I have a question.
Can whoever's being arrested please mute?
Go ahead.
Just a point of clarification. So Dwayne's coming on as a regular board member, not a parent rep, correct?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. So do we have a motion?
So moved.
Nope.
All right. Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, the motion passes. Welcome.
Thank you. Right. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, and then the second one we is Adrian, who I see is on the phone. She's not on video. Adrian, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yep. So Adrian, we all know from last year, well, most of us know from last year, she was our rep for CSMC, so she knows charter finances well. She is now at Oakland Community Charter. What is it, what's the name
Community
of it?
Community School for Creative Education in Oakland.
Community School. So she, you're the COO there, right?
CBO, yes. CBO.
Okay. So
Chief Business Officer, for those of you following mm-hmm. the acronym game.
Thank you. So Adrian, would you like to say anything?
Well, I know most of you already. I want to thank you all for this opportunity. I'm very excited to potentially join the board and look forward to digging in and getting to work.
Great, thank you. Any discussion?
I'm a big fan of Adrian's. I was pleasantly surprised when I approached her at Elisa's house and she didn't run away when I asked her to consider being on the board, and that's been a couple months, and so now we've gotten to this point, and I strongly recommend her joining our board and immediately appointing her to the Finance Committee.
Okay, I will...
So moved on both.
Second.
Appointing her to the board and putting her on the Finance Committee immediately.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, it is moved. Welcome, Adrian.
Thank you, and I accept appointment to the Finance Committee.
Yay. Lovely. Okay, we now have the remote learning plan. Mr. Oz, I will also just preempt you that I work with a lot of schools who are trying to figure this out, and I have not seen anything as thorough and thoughtful as what OSA is doing.
Thank you.
Really, really great work.
I appreciate it. We, you know, they say that the strength of a team is really bit able to be seen in a time of crisis, and the way our team has worked together has been amazing, from the leadership team to the teachers to the students that are supporting, and it's hard work right now, but it's so much fun because everyone's working with great synergy. So I think we're all feeling a lot of reward in the work we're doing, so I appreciate that the efforts are being recognized. I'm going to show you guys a presentation. I'm going to try to share my screen with you. I'm happy to take questions as I go. So I've been in front of my screen for over 12 hours now, so forgive me if I'm a little bit scrambled, but that's the reality. So let me share, and then, okay, hold on 1 second. I wanna make sure I don't have host disabled attendee screen sharing. Romy, are you able to change that setting? If not, I can look at it on my computer and walk you through, but I'd love to show you guys some visuals. It's quite a bit of information. Is Romy there?
Yeah, you're on mute, Romy. There you
go. If I can reset that, I think that was a default setting. I don't know if I can just toggle it or not. Let me see.
Okay. I can also email a presentation afterward and just walk through it. The problem is it's pretty data heavy, but we can just take it as it goes. You want me to jump in?
Let me see. Try sharing now.
Okay. Yep. Okay, 1 second here. Let me change it to gallery view to
get rid of that. So while Mike's getting ready, can I just confirm something that I've learned the hard way a while ago? Is this a paid Zoom account or one of the free Zoom accounts?
It's a free one, but sorry.
No, go ahead.
So we're going to end in 40. We're going to get cut off in 40 minutes.
Yeah, the free ones are only, you can only do 40 minute increments.
They've extended it for hours.
They didn't as of 2 hours ago.
Okay.
We tested this a couple times today and yesterday, okay. And it has been allowed to extend beyond an hour.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to get rolling then, one way or another. Can you guys all see what's on my screen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a visual art project. From you might get the sense that this is a remote learning art piece on the side, and it kind of confirms some of what Leon was saying, that this is hard. It's hard for me on a personal note. I am such a social creature, and we are cooped up. I've got a 2-year-old and a 9-year-old, and trying to keep the school running. And this is, all of us are in the same boat. We are all struggling, and I do love the fact that as we struggle together, somehow it's bringing out the best in us. Why won't it let me move forward? There we go. Okay, so I just want to give you a timeline to contextualize. You already know most of this, but it's so remarkable that it needs to be stated. Just 2 weeks ago on Tuesday, there was a presentation to APT that I was giving, where in the morning, I didn't even consider COVID-19 being part of that presentation. It was not yet that prevalent of a topic. By the evening, I was like, I got to get something in there about it, and had hand sanitizer on all the tables, and it became something of a topic, right? Wednesday morning, Elise, you were with us. This was 2 weeks ago today. The leadership team met, and we all went around the table and talked about how we were feeling about this. And I was a little, I wouldn't say paranoid, because I wasn't paranoid for my own safety, but I definitely felt the pressure of things coming. And as we can see 2 weeks later, the pressures we were feeling were real. We decided that day it was appropriate to prep our teachers for a potential campus closure, this kind of possible distant idea, but maybe it could happen in a month or so. Then we had a meeting in the afternoon, and we laid out a remote learning plan, what it would look like. This was something that was just done in between everything else we did on that Wednesday, because there was no other time to do that planning. Thursday, we announced a student-free day for the day, realizing that this might happen quicker than we expected. And we planned for that Friday to have no students so we could have all our teachers on campus to train, knowing that if and when we needed to go into closure, we would be at least more prepared than had we not chosen to do that. So we did all day training. It was amazing how the teachers collaborated. I was concerned because there's only so much guidance we can give for unprecedented situations. And everybody just brought in their resources, brought in the best work they could possibly do. And we left feeling pretty good and realized almost immediately we needed to close the campus because the news was shifting quickly. So one priority for us, and I don't want this to be misunderstood because it's not from a place of competition, at least I don't think it is, a priority was to make sure that our announcements were getting out before OUSD or before other neighboring districts. As a small charter school, I think we run the risk of people thinking that we're just kind of following the lead of others around us, and we're not. We're thinking for ourselves. We're doing what's best for our students. We have a different program than other schools. We are a regional school that supports multiple counties and have different health concerns attached to that, the high percentage of kids on public transport. All these things were factors, and so we did manage to get that announcement out prior to OUSD's announcement, and we were commended by people over in our community for doing so. So they could.
Hey, Mike, was there any OUSD or state support in the remote learning training?
No. No. We've gotten emails and like some things about that schools are doing this, but the stuff that our teachers came up with specific for our school is what the foundation of all this is.
Got it. Thanks.
And then Monday, we began. We didn't have any idea how it would go. Over 90% of our students logged in. And the people who didn't got phone calls personally from the student support team, got emails, got anything that they needed to make sure that we were on a name-by-name basis, identifying the people that were not accessing things and making sure that they were getting in there. A week later, classes had gone on. Monday of this week was supposed to be a student-free day, and it was supposed to be a teacher work day. I asked the teachers, instead of focusing on meetings because everyone was kind of up and running, to hold optional school because we want to make sure we're providing the routine for the students. I got texts all day long from teachers. 32 out of 32 kids showed up. Can you imagine an optional school day? And this speaks to the priorities that I'll share in a second is this is what our kids need. They need these routines and need these structures. And then Wednesday today, on Monday, we announced that we will be closing through April. Another move that we were like kind of trying to weigh what was best, but we want to help people manage expectations. And once again, wanted to make sure we were getting our announcement out quick to make sure to show that we are thinking for ourselves and what's best for our school. And now today, Alameda County did announce that all schools will remain closed through April as well. Okay. Here's the plan, version one. And I'm telling you, it's like playing darts without a dartboard. And some, you know, you're just throwing at a wall and hoping you're getting the right thing here. Me and Ms. Schultz sat down and created the schedule in about 5 minutes, because that's all the time allowed. First, as a faculty, we set some priorities. Priority number one is safety, always, for anything we ever do in our school. That one's covered by canceling by closing the campus, right? And I'm very careful to say it's a campus closure and not a school closure because school is operating. Priority number two is routine and structure. And this is something when I met with the faculty and we started developing our plan, I wanted to really make it clear that these are in order of how we're going to tier our priorities, that routine and structure is actually more important for us right now than priority number three. It's not to say priority number three is not important, it's very important, but we need to keep routine and structure in place because mental health depends on it. Priority three is upholding the academic and artistic standards. We do want to make sure we can promote our students to the next grade level. We do want to make sure we can graduate Leon and all our other seniors. Some schools are making different choices in closing school and don't know what they're going to do in terms of getting credits. But I want to make sure that routine and structure is first. So with that in mind, we created the schedule. It's a staggered schedule. I won't go into too much detail, but you meet with each of your academic classes twice a week. Fridays, there should be nothing, and this is because our teachers need time in their day to handle their personal affairs, to also lesson plan, and to put grades in every week. Anyone who's ever been a teacher knows it's really difficult to get grades in every week in normal circumstances. Back to structure and routine, I think students, it's more important now than ever that students are seeing these grades input on a weekly basis. So I figure if the teachers have that whole day, hopefully they, you know, once they get past the learning curve of adjusting to remote learning, they will be able to keep up and maintain that structure and have weekends to be them and be with their families and handle their personal affairs. The art program for the first 2 weeks was by appointment only in the afternoons because we just needed to shore things up and not overwhelm people. But this is in development, and I'll get to that in a second. Any questions?
Yeah, I had a question about the arts, but if you're going to get to it, I can wait.
I will, yeah.
I have a question. I know that funding from the state is dependent on attendance. Has all that just been suspended? How does that comport with what
they
we're doing?
Waived that, but we were prepared. Our plan, I'm glad they did because it was going to be a lot of administrative work on our end, but we were prepared to put every single student in our school an independent study and to monitor an independent study program for all 780 students to continue to collect the independent study, the ADA money. It was a great relief to find out that they were waiving that.
I bet. Okay. Great.
Student support structures. This is a short list. I know Katie's out there listening. I hope I do her justice because she has been killing it. I'm telling you that I cannot believe the dedication of what they've been doing. She runs the student support team and they are all over town delivering Chromebooks, delivering hotspots. I was down by Rockridge BART yesterday, ran into Katie Zog's husband who was delivering a Chromebook to a student at that time. This is a communal effort and all hands are on deck. We got a grant for hotspots to be able to provide for low-income families. We have Chromebooks available to anyone regardless of level of income, knowing that technology can be limited in the household. That's kind of a difficult thing to do because we have to go down to campus once a week and grab a bunch more Chromebooks and monitor and, you know, keep track of them all, but we're committed to doing it. One of the big limitations for bigger schools in trying to implement a plan like this is getting technology out, and we do have the capability of doing it, so we're doing our best. Student support team, like I said, has called all the homes of all the students who did not log in, and that doesn't mean like make a phone call and give up if no one answers. That means like bug them, call them, email them, check in, make sure that all of our students are logging in. Teachers are communicating student concerns on a daily/weekly basis with the student support team so that they have the access they need. That team is fully functioning, up and running, and in regular communication with the students that need that support. 504 services and IEP services are continuing. I want to share with you that some of the schools, from what I understand, that have chosen to stop classes, one of the reasons to do so is if you provide regular general education services but do not provide IEP services, you're out of compliance. If you don't provide general education services, you now no longer need to provide IEP services. A lot of districts didn't have the bandwidth to do an addendum IEP for every single student with a special education plan. Even if you can provide every service in an IEP, but now do it virtually as opposed to doing it in person, you needed to do an addendum IEP, which necessitates a meeting and a communication with a family. Our special ed team was there till 9 o'clock on that Thursday night and communicated with all 75 families and got addendum plans in action and rolling and got things moving. So those IEPs now reflect, or at least are in process of reflecting, that the services will now be done virtually. And that's under the leadership of Sarah Ordaz. If you guys don't know her yet, she is our special education coordinator who came in this year when we restructured the special education department. Our psychologist Erica Wandner is providing remote counseling supports, not just for students, but also for teachers. This came up earlier in the conversation of what we are doing for teachers. Amongst regular meetings and check-ins and support, we're also providing those counseling services, as Erica has been gracious to extend those services. Some of our advisors of the advisory program have chosen to continue holding advisory, though we're not requiring it. It's a lot to ask of people, but there's a need for the socio-emotional support that comes with advisory. So this is one of those kind of difficult situations of what are we gonna do? And we're working right now with our teachers union to determine the appropriate way. We all agree as administration and as a teachers union that those supports are necessary, but we're trying to come up with the best way to do that while not overloading our teachers. Questions?
So Mr. Ross?
Yes, sir.
If advisory is added, that's going to have an alter to the schedule or no?
Yeah, we'll get to that. I'm going to show you part two of remote learning, and it's going to be kind of vague, but I'll give you the info that I do have in a minute.
Okay, thank you.
Here's the data. This is now 142 respondents. It was 138 earlier today when I put this together. It's not near what we want, of course, but also it's only been out for 2 days. Teachers are trying to encourage students and families to take it. Anyone who's watching this, if you haven't taken the survey, do so. If you have the ability to spread that word, please do so. I want as much information as possible here. This is in addition to a teacher survey, which I'm not sharing with you guys, just because of time constraints, but we're collecting information on all ends and balancing it. Good grade distribution. In terms of demographic, it is not what we would hope to see in terms of fully representing the demographics at OSA. I do want to note, however, that you'll see this will go beyond 100% because people can click multiple races, all that apply, and we do have a high percentage of students that identify as mixed race. Access to Google Classroom. Full disclosure, the people that filled out the survey probably have access to Google Classroom, right? So let's not celebrate ourselves for this Pac-Man with his mouth closed, because we got to figure out who are the people that haven't taken the survey. Most people that filled it out have access to a computer at home. Some say no, some say maybe. We actually had people leave their name as an option. If they're saying that they don't have access, we're reaching out to them. We're trying to get them computers. We're doing everything we can, once again, on the detailed level to make sure we're getting people what they need. This one, okay, I'm survey obsessed. When I'm the kind of person who gives a survey, I hit refresh about 800,000 times a day because I want that information. The next two questions are the ones I really wanted. How helpful is the weekly structured schedule? Like I said, we just tried something and hoped it worked. One here would be, I hate everything you guys are doing. Why are you doing this? This is ruining my life. And five would be, thank you so much. The structure is what I needed in this really challenging time. And you can fill in the rest. So the curve is what we'd hope. Obviously, we would all hope for five to be shooting through the roof. But the curve represented that, hey, at least our first shot at a schedule was a pretty good one. It wouldn't be bad if it wasn't necessarily. We just make a new one. But in times of unknowns, we want as much consistency as possible. So we're trying to be very mindful of how much change there is. Anything that is working, if fully working, we on the working-ish stuff, we want to further develop to not cause even more change. Back to the human structure being a top priority. Overall course workload. One is there's not nearly enough work. Please give me more. I am an overachiever and I really want to keep working here. And five is this is way too much. I'm swamped. Three is what we would hope to see in a survey like this. We're seeing it. I'm still not fully satisfied with this because I would really like two and four to have a more equal distribution. And I'm worried that as we ramp up the amount of arts work, which you'll see about in a second, that this will maybe grow, and we need to be very careful not to see these threes grow into fours and into fives. So the guidance that I gave the academic teachers when I met with them all yesterday, we did three Zoom meetings in a row. Some of the board members were there for them. All arts at 11, all middle school at noon, and then all high school at 1, and shared the information and kind of digested it. The guidance I give the academic teachers is tone it down if you can. If you can, if you don't feel, we feel as teachers like we have to keep people busy at all times. Focus on what you want them to learn, what the real learning goals are, and if you can tone down the amount of work you're giving students, please go ahead and full green light, not only green light, but I'm asking people to do so. So we're gonna get a part two to this survey in the near future and hope to see that this either continues as it is or maybe improves a little bit. Question? able to access teachers outside of their class time. I chose to include this one on my slideshow because I want to commend our teachers. Can you imagine being a teacher right now, dealing with this, doing remote learning? You've never done it before. Some of, like me, never had a Zoom account, right? And all these teachers now have had to learn. We're going to walk out of this so much more prepared to enter a classroom because we're going to actually be fully digitally literate for those people like me who have been a little technophobic and kind of stayed away from it. 87% of these students are saying that, and this is an accurate number, I think, no matter how many people respond to the survey, because these are the people most likely to be trying to reach out to their teachers. They're getting access to their teachers outside of class time. Please thank the teachers. Please appreciate them. They deserve it. We collected feedback about which specific classes are not working and which ones are. I'm not going to share that with you for obvious confidentiality reasons. This is not used as an opportunity to reprimand someone for not doing a good job. It's to identify where the people are doing great so we can leverage them and leverage that and support the people who are struggling. So part two, this is kind of vague, like I said, but 2 weeks in, we're starting to identify the things that might need to be further developed. We're working with COSAT, our teachers union, to make sure that we're taking careful attention on all the teachers' needs as we're not, so we don't add more and more work to them. The advisory piece is something that I discussed. Advisory as it worked before is gonna be challenging. Not all people are equipped to, we just started advisory this year. And so people are still trying to get their ground and get their foundation set for that. And to now on top of that, have the added stress and do it digitally. Not everyone's ready for that. We agree that socio-emotional supports are necessary, but we're looking into, Katie Zog and I are gonna meet tomorrow. I'm gonna bring her all the feedback we got from our union meeting today and discuss what can we do to provide these supports while also making sure we're taking care of our teachers. Our classes are expanding scope. Most likely what this is gonna look like is with the two time slots for arts classes each week, it'll still be two-hour time slots, but one of those two will now be required instruction time, where attendance will be taken. The students have reached out to us saying, we need that arts time, we're artists. This is the part of our routine and our structure that we want. So we're gonna still try not to put it up too much and just have one of those two sessions be like structured actual instruction, with the other one being optional office hours and check-in. We're working to develop a tutoring program. The philosophy here is that there are people probably all over this country that are stuck in their house that are looking for how they can help. And why don't we leverage that and vet those people, put them through background checks like anyone else that helps out, and see if we can identify people who are willing to volunteer to tutor. And so I'm working to develop a program where I can collect volunteers. I think there's a fundraising opportunity in there too, where the language that goes out gets spread amongst people and says, if you can't tutor, you know, here's a way you can contribute financially to the school. We're going to see if there's a feasible way to build this. I'm working with Lori from the HR angle to make sure we're getting people properly vetted before they get in front of students. And we're going to build it from there. All these decisions are being made, balancing those three priorities that I outlined with the well-being of our teachers, our students, and the families. Questions?
Sounds really good.
So what does remote learning look like? I thought I'd show you some photos. Another thing I'm working on right now is a video slideshow. It's a bunch of pictures of just what our teachers are doing that we'll send out to the whole community as a part one. And then part two, we're gonna collect photos from students. The purpose here is we gotta see each other. We gotta know what we're up to. It makes me smile when I see what everyone's up to, and I think our students will feel the same way. And when our teachers get to see what all the students are doing, I think it'll really help us be held together as a community in a time where we can't actually be around each other. That's Ms. Schultz's home office. It's in her van. She's working full days, taking care of everything, running the counseling services for the school from a van. That is a ninth grade, I think, looking at the names, ninth grade science class working with Bay Area Women Against Rape, which is one of our partnerships, going through the six C's of healthy relationships. And this is on the right side here. All the names of the students that are in there. This is the Google Meet happening. This is what it looks like in action. Marie Plett smiling always, singing operatically probably at least within 5 minutes of that photo being taken. Here's just an example of what an assignment will look like. On the routines, I ask the teachers that at 9 o'clock they post something that needs to be collected at 9:40. The idea here is so that a student can't like access an assignment 4 days in advance and then just go in there and post it and walk away. I wanna make sure that students are engaged for 2 to 3 hours a day maybe not staring at the computer the whole time, but like have to be there and be part of a routine and structure. So this would have been assigned at 9 o'clock and then turned in by 9:40 with a timestamp, and that's how they get their credit for that class. This is a leadership team every single meeting, every single morning at 8:30. This is what we do from all our different places in our households. And we have a standing 8:30 meeting because there is always something to talk about. Ms. Bradburn, I want to see if anyone can identify what's wrong with this photo of remote learning. She's in her classroom. She superimposed her classroom as her background to make it feel more normal for her students. She's actually at home in front of a blank wall and had a photo of her classroom and superimposed it. Routine and structure. She wins the top prize. And there's one last picture of it. Thank you. Doing the best we can. Feeling good. But, you know, we still got quite a journey ahead of us. Oops, sorry. How do I get out of the screening? There we go.
So, Mike, while you're getting out, is there anything we can do to support you?
Just patience and know that there will be complaints. And I think we take them in stride, and we take whatever. It's true with all kind of complaints you get. You try to find whatever is in there that you can actually act on. And we're doing our best. And believe me, not every I paint like a pretty good picture here. People are frustrated. I'm frustrated. Like I said, I got a 2-year-old and a 9-year-old cooped up with me, right? Like we're struggling, and just patience. That's it.
Hey, Mike, this is Dwayne. Just kind of along those lines, you know, students hearing and parents, everyone hearing now that, you know, this will be extended for another about 6 weeks at least. How are you and the staff thinking about just sort of maintaining engagement? Because, you know, 2 weeks is like, okay, you might think about it with an end in sight, but knowing that it's 6 more weeks, have you talked about that at the staff?
Yeah, and it's just, you know, well, spring break is coming next week, right? And so that's a challenge for all of us just in our personal lives.
Yeah.
And from there, after spring break, if the closure is as long as we're expecting, it's about 4 school weeks ahead. So we've done a 2-week bite. There were some people that asked, hey, some schools are canceling spring break and continuing school going. I don't think that's a wise move for us. We Agreed. Need that week to plan and rest because we need to get ready for this marathon that we're about to run for 4 more weeks, if not more. So I don't have specific answers, but this is why we collect data, collect information, and are just doing everything we can to keep going. I mean, it's just constant monitoring. It's the best we can do. It's unprecedented. There's not much that we can depend on.
Hey, Mike, can I pop in real quick about that?
Please.
Just about that engagement factor. So one of the things we also were working on as leadership team is a proposed shift in the arts remote learning to more sort of live interactive work so that, you know, students get the socio-emotional support that they need as artists, but also to help counteract some of that, the potential for loss of engagement, which is very real when you extend something like this for a long time.
Right.
And then we're also in our different divisions, academic and arts, you know, I definitely had this conversation arts wise about how do we up that engagement. And we're starting to think about things like cross-curricular collaboration, which would be voluntary, but for students who are looking for something meaty to do that may not get it otherwise. We're also looking at sort of, you know, the exhibition performance piece to help get students, you know, involved more in what's going on. And just also just trying to offer students levels of interaction. So some students may be ready to move on. Some students may need more support. So it's definitely on top of our mind, but it's a really good question.
All that sounds great. Thank you.
That's it for my presentation, unless there's other questions from you guys.
Josefina, were you raising your hand?
I was.
Okay.
I just had an idea I wanted to put out to the board, and that is if the board would consider a resolution supporting the school's remote learning transition during this crisis, and also really commending the leadership team and all the staff at OSA for making this transition happen and supporting the school community in this way. I just think it would be a great show of unity within the school community. And I think, you know, everybody that's been doing this work really deserves a recognition from the board.
It may be faster to do it as a letter from the board, because I think resolution to me implies we have to wait for to get it approved. So I'd love to do a letter from the board.
I can second that, Elise. I've now got the chance to observe this process over the last week and a half from the perspective of the board, from the perspective of the teachers, which I got to listen to yesterday, and from the perspective of two high school students. I think it'll be very, very nice for us to send out a letter. It's an amazing thing that the school has pulled off, and every single teacher has gone out of their way to do it. And it's an amazing thing to watch the students engage the way they're engaging. So it really would be a nice letter to send out. I can second that.
Any other questions for Mike or Matt?
It's Diane, and this is for Mike and Matt, and this is around the students, and maybe Leon will know. Are there any families that are struggling mightily, really having a very, very difficult time right now? And have any thoughts about, for those particular families, if there's anything that we can do as individual board members, as a community? Just any thoughts that you have there?
Yes, and Katie, I know, is there and maybe can chime in, and if not, we can at least connect you to her. Katie's got her pulse on the specifics of which families. Katie has personally gone grocery shopping and been delivering groceries to people's homes. So yes, the answer is yes.
And we need support for families. And we can kind of connect on that in a larger scale, but there's definitely a large number of people who also haven't responded. Sorry, I just jumped in there.
No, I was hoping you'd.
I can kind of fill you in perhaps in a different conversation, but there's some families with real need. Taking a computer to Sacramento, we have a large number of students that are distance commuters every day. So I'm trying to make sure we're reaching out to them as well. And now we're about a week in, we're finally realizing who has been trying to do classroom on their phone, and that's actually not sustainable. So this is actually a good place for us to be. About a weekend, and knowing that we have another 4 weeks to go, because the break will give us time to support those families. And there's kids who just can't go pick up food because their parents are working.
So Katie, what's the best way? Do you want me to email you and board members who are interested? I want to protect the families, but I also want to support them. So do you want to send a generic email to us about what we can do?
Yeah, I can connect with you. It was part of what Mike and I put on the survey too, is reaching out to families if they were willing to help other families. Obviously, of course, respecting kind of their privacy. There's just other people who are going right around now to pick up food from OUSD, but obviously not the best groceries, but just providing that without any sort of hesitation or feeling that they have to keep asking is what I'm trying to avoid. So I can connect with you. Maybe you kind of help me distribute that information.
Great.
I think also now that we're going into this for longer, there's a lot of resources that are in the building that I'm trying to help kids get. They won't be able to get their books. So I'm trying to provide extra copies of books, their locker, their lockers have their art supplies, things like that.
Yeah. Let's connect and then figure out all the, if you just want to think your laundry list of what you, both you as the staff and what the families need, I'll pass it on to the board.
I will. Our team's been amazing. Everyone's really been reaching out and just connecting and making sure everyone's okay.
Yeah. And I would say include on that list any, staff, team, any families connected with OSA who also need help.
Okay.
Thank you, Diane.
Thanks.
Elise, I have a bit of time. I can help you with that.
Great.
As well.
Great. All right, Katie, I'll email you tomorrow.
Thank you guys so much.
Any other questions for Mike or Leon or Katie or Matt or Stacy? All right, and I think I saw Wendy. Okay. Thanks so much. I think you've heard it. I'm just going to tell you one more time. It really, I've seen nothing as good as what you guys have done.
Yeah. Amen.
Financial update.
So Romy, are you able to share share the slides, or would you like me to do so?
Which one would you like for me to do first?
Let's do the advancement one first. The headline, I'm going to give you guys a headline on what we're looking at for the current year, and then describe what we think we know about next year, which is a big question mark, quite frankly. So the headline for this year is we have about $250,000 problem. We have about a 450K shortfall in revenue on the fundraising side. We've got about 200,000 of expense savings to offset that. So really the revenue shortfall on the fundraising side has to do with the governor, frankly, changing his position and his willingness to support OSA. We had budgeted $400,000 this year. If you look at the first line of this document, you can see that the support of the governor's galas ramped down over the years, cut in half from 3 years ago to last year. We thought we had a realistic budget of $400,000 to go this year, but at this point, the expectation is there will not be any support. The other fundraising things, a couple things offset each other, but there's about another 50K shortfall. So you had the governor's gala shortfall, 400 plus 50 across the other line items. That's about $450,000. It's going to be something that we're going to have to think about as we build our budget for 2021. We're going to have to think really long and hard about what we can expect for fundraising in this new environment. There's going to be massive impacts probably over the next 1 to 3 years. So we'll have to run some models around what that could look like. This also assumes that we continue to get some money in on the annual fund. If you look at the second line, I can't really read the number, 387, I think is what we have so far. We're budgeting that to get to 425. That number was published about a week and a half ago, and the world has changed in the last 15 days, as we all know. So it's something we're monitoring closely. Does anybody else on the development committee or anybody want to offer any more commentary? I've not been privy to the conversations with the governor's office. Anything else to share there that can set some context around this?
So this is Steve. You know, regardless of where the governor was in terms of his support for the gala, obviously because of this pandemic, it wouldn't be happening anyway. So right. The shortfall was going to happen. The conventional wisdom in development these days is to stay communicative with key donors in terms of what we're doing. And, you know, Mike Oz presented a really compelling story of how our teachers and staff are going above and beyond to take care of our students. And that's probably a message we want to get out to our key donors. But this is not a time to be asking for money.
Yep.
Both because everyone is, you know, concerned about their safety, but also their portfolios are being decimated. But even with that, we should be reaching out. Catherine and Elise and I have had some exchanges of emails on that. And then, we should probably get something out in the next few weeks when we see what's happening. We can develop a plan to see if there's a way we can shore up some of the shortfall. But for now, it's not looking very promising.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. And I just wanted to clarify that this shortfall was not due to the pandemic. This was identified
Correct.
Prior to this.
Correct.
So it's something we're managing. So again, the key takeaways will be about a $450,000 shortfall on the revenue side, offset by about $200,000 of savings on the expense. So expenses will be lower than planned. That's across a few different expense categories. So the net impact to us this year will be about $250,000. Any questions on that before I talk about what we know and don't know about next year?
Mike, this is Josefina again. Yep. I just wanted to put on the table that there will be some new pots of money that are opening up in response to COVID-19, some focused on some emergency funding focused on the distance learning and the transition to that, but also some support dollars for families and for students. And so in the stimulus packages, there may be some increases in 21st century funding, for example, and there may be some additional state funding that OSA could go after. So I just wanted to put that on everybody's radar, and we should be looking at those opportunities and be as aggressive as possible.
Yep, absolutely. And I want to circle back to a conversation, I think it was on this call, but I've been on a number of calls today talking about the same stuff. The indication is that we will get full funding for the school year, even though we will not meet the required instructional minutes and required instructional days. There's a thing called P2 ADA, which is the number of average daily attendance we had as of the second reporting period. That's being locked down as of the end of February. So basically, we'll get funded for the number of kids we had on board at the end of February, and that's how they're going to administer it across all schools. That was actually welcome news. There will not be any penalties. Maybe a couple forms we have to fill out, but details of that are still sort of coming together. And Adrian, I don't know if you have any more news on that, but the takeaway, as I understand it, is that we'll get full funding for this year. Are all indications. Are you hearing anything different from your sources, Adrian?
No, that's my understanding as well, with attendance through February 28th.
Yeah. Any other questions on this year's stuff?
Just a point around what Josefina just brought up.
Yeah.
The point about being aggressive. At least I've seen this in different scenarios where once the funding is gone, it's gone. It's a little bit of a first come, first serve. We're small and we're nimble, and we should get our requests in early. And a month can make a huge difference. By the time others figure it out, you're racing and competing. And sometimes, you know, once it's gone, it's gone.
Yep.
When you have the stimulus funding.
Yep. Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate that. Agreed. Okay, so let me tell you what we know about next year. So just as a reminder, and for Dwayne, for your background, the governor releases a preliminary budget in January and then a revised budget in May. The last couple of years, the delta between the two has been fairly small, and the funding increase over the prior year has been about COLA, basically, about 3%. We don't know yet what the May projections are going to look like, but it would be imprudent for us to assume that it's going to continue to be as strong and that we're going to get 3% funding. The latest I heard was that funding will be flat year over year. Okay, that's from another organization that I've done some work with. We're going to have to monitor that pretty closely. I will share that back in the late 2000s, 2008, 2009, 2010, there were times when the change between January and May was a decrease of as much as 8 to 10%. And then what actually happened went down another 8 to 10%. So when I was working at Aspire, we used the phrase, stay one step ahead of what the state's going to do. So we're going to have to put some thoughtful scenario planning into our budgeting for next year, because we may be impacted both on the philanthropy side, with people's portfolios being impacted dramatically, as has already been discussed, as well as a global recession that seems to already have started. So I share that we're going to have to watch this stuff pretty closely. We got a lot of balancing needs for next year. We're going to have to run a number of different scenarios as part of the budgeting process, and we'll continue to monitor what we hear coming out of Sacramento. Any questions or any other insights on any of that? It's pretty high level, but there's just a ton of question marks right now. If nothing else,
Mike.
Yes, Jonathan.
I'm going to backtrack you a little bit to this year's questions. Is there any relief on rents and stuff like that we are going to get, or you've already looked at that and built that into the your projections?
I'd have to defer to Stacy on the details of the projections. She and Kimberly identified about $200,000. I don't think it assumed any rent abatement. We don't. I mean, our rent is. Yeah, our rent is only on the suites and Newberry's. But there may be some opportunities to go after some of that kind of stuff.
Under the circumstances, it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah, we had some success with that when we were, you don't need to hear my personal history of CFO at Aspire, but we had some success with some of those conversations back in the day.
Thanks, Mike.
One thing I learned at Aspire was wait time after you ask a question. I think I've waited long enough, and I will conclude my presentation now.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Good wait time. Okay. So we have the OSA Sunshine proposal, and Jeff Sloan, who is our chief negotiator, is there. He is now with us. If you would like to say something.
Good evening.
Hi.
The school is just starting negotiations with COSAT over terms for a new collective bargaining agreement. And this is an introduction of the school's opening bargaining proposal. And under the Educational Employment Relations Act, the school's sunshine proposal is simply introduced at this point. And in the next public meeting, public comment will be solicited and the board will then be asked to approve the proposal for submission to the union. That is all.
Okay, thank you. Let me see. We are now gonna move into closed session. So closed session is a different number, but Romy, correct me, when we report out from closed session and come back to open session, we'll come back to this number, correct?
That is correct. I will leave this one open.
Okay, is there anyone on the board who does not have the closed session number who needs it sent to them again? Okay, so Diane, you need it again?
And this is Dwayne. If I don't have it. If
okay. Adrian, do you have it?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So Romy, could you send it again to Diane and send it to Dwayne?
Yes, and Dwayne, I just want to confirm that the initial part of the email I have for you is Walton29.
Oh, thank you for mentioning. No,
You can do a private message me on the chat then.
Do it right now. Thanks so much, Romy.
Sure thing.
And just to be clear, I will not be participating right. In the session.
Yeah, I have your notes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, everyone, for logging in. I really appreciate especially, everyone, but especially the staff who is working round the clock to also be on this meeting. So thank you. And thank you, Leon. All right. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. If you need to get a snack or go to the bathroom, we'll see
you. We'll be in closed session in 5 minutes. We won't be back in open session.
We will be back in closed. We will be in closed session in 5 minutes.
It would be a miracle if we were back in 5 minutes. I'll see you all.
All right. Bye.
I was just going to say, as the host of both of the sessions, if for some reason this one closes out, I will reopen it.
Thank you, Romy.